It's time for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Great to be with you today. We are going to talk today with you about the power of belief. What we believe, how does that affect our mind? Can it actually make physiological changes to our brain? We have a psychiatrist with us, and we're going to share some news information with you in just a moment. So a great day to come. Stay tuned. You will be very happy and very pleased, I know, at the things that we are able to share with you today. Our number, if you'd like to join us on the air live, is 800-775-4673. 800-775 and the word HOPE, H-O-P-E. Now, if you are listening on the Life Talk Network or on the Internet or watching on the HOPE Channel, the North American feed, this is a live program. So the phone number works. Call in. Join us on the air. And as I tell you from day to day, it's a lot of fun when you do. We like to have your phone calls. 800-775-4673. That's how you can call in and join us on the air. Well, our topic today is, as I mentioned just a moment ago, can the mind be impacted by what we believe? There are some, of course, that have said, well, we simply believe what our mind has been hardwired to believe. Well, how does all this work together? We're going to talk about that today, and as I mentioned, we have an expert guest that is going to share some intriguing information with us. He has a brand new book out. This has just been released. In fact, it's so new, you may not be able to get it in the stores even yet. So, in any case, we'll share that with you in just a moment. Let me share with you now a couple news stories. First of all, the Wall Street Journal, in current issue of Wall Street Journal, they have an article entitled, How Thinking Can Change the Brain. Did you follow what I said there? How thinking can change the brain. Recalling research that has been done over the past 10 years, the Wall Street Journal said that something as intangible and insubstantial as thought could rewrite the brain. Well, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about belief, our thinking, what we choose to think, what we choose not to think, what impact does that actually have on our brain and our lives. How does it impact our health, for instance? Neuroscientist Helen Mayberg demonstrated way back in 2002, and this is referred to in the article in the Wall Street Journal, and she said that inert pills like placebos, and this is something I think that probably most of us have heard about, but that they work in the same way on the brains of depressed people as antidepressants do. The degree and what measure you'd want to place on that, we can talk with our guest today. But in her research, she discovered that placebos have the same kind of effect that the actual pills did, at least when it came to antidepressants. Coming from the University of San Francisco, scientists there have demonstrated that if you take up mental exercises to keep your brain young, they will not be as effective if you become able to do them without paying attention. So as we continue to do things, get in the habit of it, and it just is a routine to us, those kinds of things do not as effectively change our brain as doing new things and learning new ways of doing things. Continuing on from the University of San Francisco, it says, we choose and sculpt our ever-changing minds and how they will work. We choose who we will be the next moment in a very real sense. What does this mean for Christians? If we have the power or the ability to change our brains by the things that we choose to think, the things that we choose to believe, what impact does that have on us that may have not just temporal importance, but may have eternal importance? Now, I'd like to share with you a text from the Bible. I think that you may have heard this one before, but I'd like to share it with you. This comes from Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs the 15th chapter, verse 30. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Once again, it is being demonstrated here in the Bible, or at least revealed in the Bible, that those things that impact us do have physiological impact on us. It's not just part of the thinking, just the part of the mind, but it actually can have some impact on the brain as well. And as I mentioned already, we're going to see how all of this comes together in just a moment when we bring our guest on the air. I have a question I'd like to throw out to you. This comes from the Bible once again. We'd like to know from you, the Bible writer, that said the following phrase. The Bible writer that said the following phrase. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What Bible writer said that? Who could we attribute that statement to? Now, I have in my hand this brand new book that has been just released by our guest. In fact, this is literally hot off the press. It may or may not be available in the stores yet. The author has just gotten copies himself, and we're going to make a couple of these available today. Could it be this simple? Is the title of the book. Could it be this simple? A biblical model for healing the mind. Could it be this simple? A biblical model for healing the mind. Well, we're going to make this available. We'll do this by way of a drawing at the end of the program today. So you can be part of that simply by calling in and joining us on the air. We'll tell you more in just a minute when we get back from break. Our number is 800-775-4673, 800-775, the word HOPE. We'd love to hear from you. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Can belief actually change our brains and our physiology? We'll be right back. Stay tuned. A lot to come.
Your thoughts and comments are welcome at 800-775-4673.
The rain was coming down in sheets, and I had just put my head on my pillow when... Harry Slade, private accountant.
Mr. Slade, you must help me.
Sure, it's your nickel, lady. Keep talking.
Meet me at the cafe at 9th and Maple in 10 minutes.
It was the kind of invitation that's difficult for a guy to resist. Rescuing damsels in distress is nice work if you can get it.
Oh, Mr. Slade, I'm so glad you're here.
Well, that makes two of us. Now, what's the trouble?
It just doesn't add up. My checkbook, I mean.
Now you're talking my language, sweetheart.
Please help me, Mr. Slade.
Call me Harry.
Harry?
Say, when was the last time you used an ATM, an automated teller machine?
I don't know. Yesterday, maybe the day before. Why?
Did you write down the transaction?
Oh, why, no, I don't believe I did.
Well, there's your problem right there, dollface. When you get money from an ATM, you need to write it down in your checkbook just as soon as you can. If you don't, things are never going to add up.
Oh, Harry, you've really got my number.
That's just part of what I do.
A Money Minute from Crown Financial Ministries.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about belief and the ability of belief to change our minds, to change our bodies. And this has, I think, great impact for the Christian life and experience. If you would like to join us live on the air today, you can do that by calling 800-775-4673. 800-775 and the word HOPE, H-O-P-E, so it's very easy to remember. Once again, if you are on the Life Talk Network or on the Internet or on the Hope Channel North American feed, this is a live program. So pick up the phone, give us a call, participate. And today we have two books by our guest that we're going to give away. We're not going to give this to every person that calls in. We're going to have a drawing at the end of the program. We'll give it away to two of you that call in today. You will get this book free of charge. For the rest of you, we will tell you where you can actually get this book. It is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? Could It Be This Simple? I like that, don't you? It's nice when things are made simple. I know sometimes in the Christian experience, people try to make the Bible so complicated that no one can understand it. And so when someone says, Could It Be This Simple? I like that. The book is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. And once again, this is not a book that is written by someone that just likes to write books. It is written by someone that really knows what they are talking about and has had a lot of experience in this area. And so I know that if you get this book, you will really enjoy and appreciate it. Once again, you can join the program today by giving us a call, 800-775-4673, and participate in the discussion. Either answer the question or you may have a question that you would like to ask of our guest. 800-775-4673. And the question that we have thrown out to you today is, what biblical writer, what writer in the Bible has said, as a person thinks in their mind, so are they? 800-775-HOPE. My guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. And he is here in the studio with me. And Tim, we have this new book. I know you are excited about this book that has just been released.
Well, it's been a long time coming. It's been a project I've worked on for more than 10 years now.
So it has a lot of work and a lot of preparation that has gone into it. You know, for a psychiatrist to title his book, Could It Be This Simple? I mean, that's a stretch in itself, isn't it? Because when it comes to psychiatry, most people just kind of throw up their hands and walk away and say, I don't understand any of this.
One of the challenges, and the reason I guess this name came out, was when I was in my residency, there was a young lady that I had to deal with who had some significant problems. And I remember in my training that I felt very frustrated because I didn't have substantial answers to give to her. Particular problems for her was trying to come to resolution with God's role in her life, the issues of post-traumatic stress that she'd been under from abuse in childhood. And she had many questions about, does God exist? Why did God make me this way? And so forth and so on. And I remember discussing with my faculty about these things, and they told me to refer this patient on to a chaplain because they didn't really feel this was questions appropriate for a psychiatrist. And I remember feeling somewhat helpless, and I kind of made a vow to myself that I was going to start studying and researching to find answers that could be offered to regular people. This book is not written for the psychiatrist only. This book is written actually for the regular people like my patient who can read it and find answers that would bring comfort and healing to their heart and mind.
Well, I mean, that's refreshing. The subtitle of it is A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. What's that all about?
Well, I actually believe that we were created. I don't believe that we evolved out of slime. And I believe that God designed us with a particular way for our minds to function. And this book has, as part of what they'll discover in the book, a model of the mind that outlines the way God designed the mind to work. And also, what happened to our minds? What's the problem? What are the destructive factors that are causing us from finding this mental efficiency and health and healing and peace? And it goes through the principles that God has revealed to us in His Word that would bring healing and restoration to our mind.
All right. Let's come back to the principle that we've alluded to in some of the stories today. A principle may be the wrong word, but at least the subject matter of some of the news stories. And that is, to put it once again in lay terms, mind over matter type of thing. What ability does belief and the world around us, our reaction to it and so forth, how does our mind actually get molded? As I understand it, that's a fairly recent concept. There's a concept at one time that the brain is what it is and it kind of makes us who we are. The thought that external forces and our reaction to them and what we do ourselves can actually change our brain seems to me to be a significant concept for Christians.
Yeah, I think that Christians might have been ahead of the scientist on this one, because I think if you have a little common sense, we all have known that if you've taken, say, a Spanish class in school and you struggle to learn that language, what's happening in the brain as you're adding to syntax, adding to your vocabulary, is neurons are being recruited. New neurons are actually being produced. Neuron connections are being made. But let's say after you finish high school, you stop speaking Spanish. Over the years that go by, what happens to your efficiency in this language? It falls off. And what happens is the neurons are actually pruned back. The connections are pruned back. We lose some neurons that relate to this particular skill. The brain is pliable and elastic. It's constantly branching and pruning its neural net. And the Bible, of course, has taught these principles all along, that we can experience transformation, change of heart. As you read from the quote earlier today, the quote that you're asking the audience to tell us who wrote it, that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So right. I think really those of us who have believed God has given us wisdom in His Word have maybe had a little edge on the scientists on this one. And science is now proving that to be true.
And that is so often the case when it comes to things that we find in the Scriptures.
Yes.
Well, let's go back to the phones now, and we are going to go to Washington State and talk to Barbara. Barbara, nice to have you with us today.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay. In answer to your scripture question there, I believe it was Solomon.
Okay, you're voting for Solomon then.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that down, and we will take others, and we'll find out what others have to say. But Barbara, I think that's a good try at it. And like I said, towards the end of the program, we'll actually give the answer. Now, you also, we're going to put you in a drawing today for this book, Could It Be This Simple? I hope you get that, Barbara. I know that if you do, you really will enjoy it. It is a great book that I know is going to change a lot of lives, and because it's written from a Christian perspective. Now, let me ask you also, Barbara, before I let you go, did you have a question or anything else that you would like to share with us?
Not really.
Okay.
I'm listening and enjoying the program.
Well, thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's go now and talk to Kristen. Kristen, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you. Good evening. I'm calling from Slovenia. I'm calling from Europe.
All right. Well, nice to have you. You must be on the internet or watching.
I'm on the internet. Yes. Okay. I'm an American living in Europe, and I faithfully every Friday night watch the Hope Channel.
Okay.
And I was very interested in your topic this evening.
Well, terrific. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Now, did you have a question or a comment?
Well, I just had a comment. The last several weeks, if not months, I've been following via CNN, the Oprah Winfrey Show. They've been talking about this, the power of the mind, and how on CNN they were talking about how businesses are hiring companies to come in and teach their employees to think positively. And when they do that, that production increase, they are more satisfied in the workplace, and how actually positive thinking and the power of the mind, how it actually affects us physically. And then Oprah, about a month ago, had the book The Secret, which came out, talking about that very thing, that we have the power, that what is going in us, what we attract in our mind is what we are attracting physically from the universe. And we're like magnets. What you like, you will attract. Every thought has a frequency, and so on and so on and so on. And the more I was listening to her, I think this is a fascinating subject.
Kristen, I know you're in Sylvania, and I hate to ask you to do this, but we're up against the break. I'm going to have to ask you to hold for just a moment, if you'll be kind enough to do that, because what you're saying is very important, and I know our guest would like to share some thoughts with us. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
You can join the conversation now by calling 800-775-4673.
Hey, kids, did you know there's a radio station just for you? It's called Life Talk Kids, and it's found on live365.com. You'll need to search for Life Talk. Life Talk Kids features music, drama, and stories just for you. Or the young at heart. If you're looking to listen to just music, check out Life Talk Music. This station features the best Christian music Life Talk has to offer 24/7. We also stream Life Talk Radio's main audio. So go to live365.com, keyword is Life Talk, and find the station that's just right for you. That's live365.com, keyword Life Talk. If you become a Live 365 VIP member, you can listen to all day, every day without the ads. Plus, you'll have access to thousands of other stations on Live365.com. So get connected and connect with Christ today.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about the power of belief over the mind. Can that actually change our physiology of our brain and of the rest of our bodies? So if you have a question or comment, 800-775-4673 is how you can get in contact with us today and join us live on the air. We have this great book that our guest has made available, a couple copies of this. We're going to have a drawing at the end of the program, so two of you that call in today will be able to receive this book free of charge. The rest of you, of course, can find it at the store. It is Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. 800-775-4673. If you're on the Life Talk Network, or if you're on the internet, or if you're on the Hope Channel, the North American feed, this is a live program. So you can call in 800-775-HOPE. My guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, and we have Kristen that is on the phone with us in Slovenia. And you are in the right in the middle, Kristen, of posing a question to us or making a statement, sharing, I think, some excellent thoughts that I know our guest would like to respond to. But I'd like to ask you to go ahead and finish your thoughts, if you would do that.
Well, I guess while I was watching these various programs on television, I thought it was a fascinating concept. And I just was concerned, as Christians watching this, and listening to this new information, that it could possibly slip into new age type of thinking. That, for example, one of the thoughts was that what we think is our creation.
Right.
That thought is creation. And that emotion creates our reality. And I had a concern with how that could be misinterpreted and how Christians can take this new scientific evidence and still apply it and give God his glory and the power in our lives.
You know, I think you are right on track, and I think that your concerns are valid, and I know our guest has some things that he'd like to share.
Well, I think her interpretation is right as well. She's not could lead to New Age. It is New Age thinking. It is all about the forces in the universe, the energies without identity, the energy without personality that we can somehow tap into, that we ultimately become our own God. And this is, of course, the central theme of what New Age theology is all about. And I think that they have identified some scientific facts. For instance, certain forms of meditation can result in physiologic changes, and they identify that, and then they extrapolate that out into conclusions which aren't actually borne out by the evidence. My experience is that it is only in a true relationship and opening your mind to God himself that you find the highest levels of development, because by reaching your mind out to God, you come in contact with the infinite and the divine, and that allows us to expand our capabilities and capacities beyond our abilities to do on our own.
All right. Well, Kristen, did you have anything else that you wanted to share with us?
No, I was just really pleased to see that there was a Christian perspective coming out on this, because it's been in the headlines internationally for quite some time now, several weeks, if not months. And I was curious to see what the church's response would be.
Well, if you don't have a bookstore in Slovenia where you can purchase this, you can find it on our website, www.commonreason.com, and you can order it from there.
All right. Or she may be part of the drawing today.
Well, hopefully she'll get it off the drawing.
Right. Kristen, blessings to you, and thank you for being part of the program today.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to California now, and we're going to talk to Mary. Mary, how are you doing today?
Just fine, thank you.
Good. Nice to have you on the air with us.
Thank you. My question is, I have a daughter that is possibly bipolar or schizophrenic.
Uh-huh.
And how can we help her if she doesn't seek help for herself?
All right, good question. Dr. Jennings?
Well, if she is deemed to have capacities to care and make decisions for herself, the only thing you can do is show your concern and try to persuade her to go for help. If, however, her mental status is such that she has lost capacity to be self-governing and control of herself, then you can seek magistrates or local court authority to have governance or guardianship over this individual and get treatment against their will. So it really is going to depend on the capacity of the individual to be self-determining. Sometimes the illnesses are severe enough that they do impair judgment, and you can get those orders for guardianship and you can seek treatment. But many patients have these illnesses and refuse to get treatment, and there really is nothing we can do to force treatment upon people against their will if they're not impaired to the point they lose capacity.
Does that help, Mary?
Yes, that does help.
Okay. Anything else that you had today?
No, that was it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling. God bless. All right, let's go to Washington State now, and we're going to speak to Hazel. Hazel, nice to have you on the air with us today.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. The text that you referred to, I believe, is Proverbs 23, verse 7.
Okay.
The first line from the New King James.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. And so then, who would the person be that wrote those words in your mind?
Oh, that would be... Proverbs was written by Solomon, I believe.
All right. We're going to put that down and see if others agree with you.
Okay.
All right. Well,
and I was, just before your program, I was listening to one, and I didn't hear the whole question, but the answer was you need to say, you know, there's a lot of sadness and anger for all the things that happened to you and that was taken away from you. The anger part of sadness is really hard for women to get hold of, but you need to sit down, and one of the best things to do is write a letter and get your anger out and process it, and maybe every couple of days go back and get your anger out. Now,
okay.
I'm wondering, I thought, well, yeah, that'd be good to process that part. But I'm also wondering, you know, we're not supposed to dwell on the negative side of things, and the more we bring it out and look it over and dwell on it and share it with people for sympathy, the more it grows. Instead of getting rid of it, it kind of grows like topsy. So I was wondering what your input would be on that.
Well, let's ask our guest. I think that Hazel's referring maybe to the story that you told earlier in the program today. What would your response be, Dr.
Well, actually, she's identifying a true process, and that is that just as with you exercising muscles, the mm-hmm. more you exercise those muscles, the stronger those particular muscles get. So too with the brain, the more you exercise certain neural circuits, the stronger those neural circuits get. So if you exercise the neural circuits of anger and you just bring it out for the purpose of venting it and expressing it and letting it just wash over you, and you do that again and again, those neural circuits with that emotion get stronger. So it's not healthy just to bring things out just for the purpose of venting only. However, if you're struggling with those emotions, we shouldn't suppress them and ignore them either. What do we do with them then? We bring them out for the purpose of understanding, addressing, resolving, and finding peace.
I have a follow-up I'd like to ask you on that. We have to go to break, though, so stay with us. And Hazel, stay with us as well, and we'll pick up right after break. 1 minute. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. 800-775-HOPE. So we're off the air for just a couple minutes during break, but we will be back, so stay tuned. Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about the power of belief. Our number is 800-775-HOPE, 800-775 and the word hope, H-O-P-E. So that's how you can join us on the air, and we'd love to hear from you. If you're on the Life Talk Network, on the Internet, or on the Hope Channel North American feed, this is a live program, so you can pick up the phone and call in. 800-775-4673. I have in my hand a new book that has just been released by our guest. It is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? And then it is subtitled, A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. And we're giving a couple of these away today. So when you call in, we'll put you in a drawing, and we have two of these that we're going to give away. Once again, the number 800-775 and the word HOPE, H-O-P-E. And we've thrown a question out to you. A biblical writer, a biblical character, has said this, as a person thinks in his heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Who was that person? If you know the answer to it, you can give us a call. We have Hazel on the line with us, and Hazel was asking a question. I wanted to do a follow-up, and then Hazel will see if you have anything else that you'd like to share with us as well. But let me ask you, Dr. Jennings, when we start talking about the ability to change our minds, to use our thinking processes to make physiological changes in our brain, who's to be the guide of that? I mean, obviously, we don't want someone else outside of us messing with our brain. That may be necessary occasionally, and you're a psychiatrist. You have to do that sometimes to help people get past certain points. But usually, we want to have control over what is happening in our brain. What is to control this process? I mean, what is to give guidance for how we should react to whatever situations in life so that our brains are properly manipulated or properly directed in the way they should grow?
Well, what comes to my mind immediately is Isaiah 1:18, where God said, come, let us reason together, though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be white like snow, though they're red like crimson, they'll be made like wool. Paul said in Romans 14 that every person should be fully persuaded in their own mind. Because of our finite minds, there's so much we don't know, it's often helpful to have other people, counselors, friends, to talk things over with, to get perspectives. But I tell all of my patients, I am not here to tell you what to think. I am here to get you to think, to share with you ideas or perspectives that you might not have considered before, but it's your responsibility to take that home, weigh it out on your own right, come to your own conclusion. Ultimately, hopefully, my patients will also be doing this with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten their mind with truth. But even God does not approach us with the idea of, I said it, you believe it, and don't you dare ask me any questions.
Right.
He wants us to reason with him, to think it through, because the truth is on his side, and the more we weigh it out and look for truth, the more we come to understand him, his methods, and we are transformed in the process.
All right. Hazel, did you have anything else that you wanted to share or ask?
No, that sounds good to me.
Okay.
And what I was thinking is anger, it does, it needs to be brought out as a resolution, not as a further seeking of sympathy and all that sort of thing. Because it just kind of grows, like I said. But to resolve it and to get it out of the system so that physical, as well as spiritual healing can take place.
Right. Well, Hazel, yeah, you called in and shared some great thoughts. Thank you so much.
And, well, be sure and put me in the drawing, and be sure you autograph those books you're sending out. That's great.
You know, let's ask our guest today. Dr. Jennings,
thank
will those
so
go
much.
Out autographed?
They sure will.
All right. Those
thank
books
so
will go
much.
Out autographed. Thanks again, Hazel. God bless. Let's go now to Tennessee, and we're going to speak to Arlene. Arlene, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good. Nice to have
it
you with us.
It happens to be North Carolina instead of Tennessee, though.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry about that.
No problem. I have, first of all, I figure that it was the wisest man who ever lived that wrote that trivia question you had, Solomon.
All right. We'll put Solomon down.
Okay. And I have some questions regarding healing of the mind.
Okay.
What is there that can be done for a person like with Parkinson's or Alzheimer's?
Great question. And that's a challenging question, isn't it, Dr. Jennings?
It is a great question. The best thing, of course, for the Alzheimer's is prevention, and we're looking on methods to prevent. The theories, there are several theories that abound with Alzheimer's dementia, but ultimately the common pathway is there are loss of neurons. Neurons are dying in the brain. What the theories seem to be leading toward is some type of oxidative stress that causes an influx of calcium into the neurons that results them to die. And I could walk through the physiological steps, but I think that might not be what the audience is interested in. But healthy lifestyle, low stress management, things that continue to keep the neurotrophic factors, the healthy proteins of the brain alive, which are exercise, proper rest, good spirituality, healthy diet, avoiding toxins like tobacco and alcohol. All these things are protective to the brain. Not a guarantee, but they are protective to the brain as it keeps the healthy proteins available and avoids some of the toxins which damage the brain. As far as treatment for Alzheimer's dementia, there is no treatment yet available that actually prevents the disease or causes the restoration of neurons that are lost. The best we can do is treat the symptoms associated with it. There are some theories and some research going on and some things that might gobble up the amyloid proteins that are depositing in the brain, causing some of this trouble. So in the near future, we might have some treatments that can go directly at the disease, but right now we don't have any. Regarding Parkinson's disease, Parkinson's is also a neurodegenerative disease, a disease in which neurons die. They probably die in a similar way to those with Alzheimer's, just in a different part of the brain. Again, there are no real treatments to cause those neurons to come back. There's research on fetal cells. There's research on various other types of embryonic stem cell research that might be hopeful at replacing those neurons. And then there are some things called like deep brain stimulation where they can put an electrode deep into the brain and give an electrical current to that part of the brain that doesn't have the neurons anymore. It can help the symptoms of Parkinson's disease.
Well, let me ask you, in light of what keeps coming up in the news so often, and part of the news that we looked at earlier today, and that is, as the mind is stimulated by trying to stimulate new patterns of growth, getting out of the routines, this seems to be something that stimulates the brain, and in the news stories that I have seen, says that it has some impact, possibly, on delaying...
That's exactly right, because it keeps the neurons active. We keep making new neurons, and it makes the neural network more complex. And so if you start to dismantle a neural network, the more complex it is when you start, the longer it takes to dismantle. So it's got a beneficial effect.
We have to go to break. Arlene, if you'd like to stay with us through break, we would invite you to do that. Feel free to do that. Our number is 800-775-4673. We'll be right back.
Do you have a question for today's show? Call 800-775-4673.
Is your life stuck in fast forward? Are you doing more and enjoying less? Do you feel stressed out and tired?
If so, help is here. Speaker, pastor, and author Carl Hafner points the way to relief for the stressed out, worn out, and burned out. With humor and wisdom, Carl Hafner shows in his new book, Soul Matters, that it's possible to live a sane and balanced life in a world gone mad. But there's a catch. You must learn to cheat the lesser gods and clamor for your attention in order to honor the one true God. Find rest for your weary soul. Pick up a copy of Carl Hafner's book, Soul Matters, today. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about the power of belief. If you'd like to join us, 800-775-4673. That's how you can join us live on the air. When you do that today, we're going to enter you in a drawing that we're going to have at the end of the program for the book that has just been released by our guest. It is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. We're giving a couple of these away today because our guest has been gracious enough to give us a couple to give to you. So, in any case, if you'd like to be in the drawing, what you can do is give us a call, join us on the air, and we'll put you in that drawing. 800-775-4673. If you're on the Life Talk Network, on the Internet, or the Hope Channel North American feed, this is a live program. You can call in. Our guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, and we have Arlene from North Carolina that's on the phone with us. And Arlene, let me come back to you and ask you if there's anything that you wanted to add to the conversation.
I was wondering if you folk are familiar with Dr. Blaylock's book on excitotoxins.
All right, Dr. Jennings.
I'm not familiar with the book, but that's what I was referring to when I was talking about the oxidative stress, the various things that cause increased excitotoxicity. It's through the glutamate channels, opening up calcium channels. It's causes excitotoxicity and thus the damage to the neurons. It's just another way of saying increased oxidative stress.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of the things that where we've had a problem in the family, and it's something that I have tried to be very careful in avoiding foods that contain excitotoxins. And from his book, I realized that apparently in government, they don't realize perhaps some of the damage that these additives are doing for people.
Okay.
And I was wondering.
I think the doctors may
not even be familiar with it, but I personally have also had a problem when I have eaten food that I have known has it, even after I've tried to avoid foods with that for a year. So I figured I was in a situation I didn't have much choice.
Right.
And I ate it. And
Tim, it seems that Arlene is raising something that I think is important for us to keep in mind. We're talking about the power of belief, changing the mind, and so forth. I think that we also live in a world of sin. And as we live in a world of sin, we're impacted by our environment, et cetera. So we're not talking today just about a single issue. I mean, there are other issues that could be discussed as we talk about this, correct?
Well, there's no question about it. And the point you make is great. We live in a world that's filled with all types of toxins, pollutions, pesticides, toxins in the food. There's all kinds of things that can impact on us. There's no question about it. Additives in the food, preservatives and things like that, some of the new sweeteners and things like that. Nobody has actually followed people at certain doses over 60 years to see what the long-term impacts are. We don't really have information to prove one way or the other. Short-term studies show that we're safe or they wouldn't be there, but nobody really knows what the long-term implications will be.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much for calling today, Arlene, and we wish you God's blessing.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Texas now, and we're going to speak to Laverne. Laverne, great to have you with us.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I believe that text is Proverbs 23, verse 7, written by Solomon, in the text that you were asking about today.
Okay, we put that down. That seems to be a popular answer.
And I really am interested in the book. Even if my name is not drawn, I would love to purchase it. I have a nephew that I've raised since he was 2 1/2, because his mother just was very juvenile herself and ended up having me take him. But it has caused so much stress in his little mind. And now he's 18, just graduated from high school, and he's off his ADHD medicine and on his own as to what he's going to do about such things. And I'm hoping this book would really help him. He's had lots of treatments, and even was resided at a boys' ranch to help him, you know, for 2 or 3 years, and it did really help him. But now he's kind of on his own and kind of reverting back a little, so I would sure appreciate being able to get that book.
Okay, Laverne, I'm going to ask our guest today to respond to you, and also, if you would, tell people where they can get the book.
Well, the book is available at ABC's. Any major bookstore can order it for you if you go in and ask them, knowing the author's name and the title of the book, or you can go to our website, www.comeandreason.com.
All right, so that's where she can find that.
Find the book, yes.
Will it be helpful in her circumstances?
It certainly will be helpful to teach people how to make healthier decisions, how to organize the faculties of their mind, and also to help to understand some of the processes that go on with attention deficit disorder. There's a small section in the book that I describe some of the difficulties with attention deficit disorder. It's not an attention deficit disorder book, so don't want people to get misled in that direction. But I do mention some of the difficulties about the dopamine in the prefrontal cortex in one small section of the book.
All right. Arlene, thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you.
All right, God bless. Let's go to Pennsylvania now, and we're going to talk to Ron. Ron, nice to have you with us today.
Good to be here. I do have a question.
Okay.
I have a wife that's manic depressive for, I guess, over 30 years now on medication. Is there a way to overcome manic depressive?
All right, excellent question. Dr. Jennings?
Manic depression we need to understand manic depression as a physical illness of the brain. This is not due to character defect. This is due to some physical alteration of the brain, just like if somebody had a liver disease or had some disease with the heart muscle or some other organ of the body. The brain organ itself isn't functioning correct.
All right, I know there's a lot more to that answer. We'll have to hold until after break. Ron, stay with us. We'll be right back. Our number is 800-775-HOPE. Stay tuned. More to come about the topic today, the power of belief.
Has Steve made you think today? Tell us about it. 800-775-4673.
Inspired by the Bible Experience. Mark chapter 1, verse 1.
The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and this was his message.
After me comes one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven.
You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased.
You've been listening to Inspired by the Bible Experience, a fully dramatized audio production of the Bible, performed by an unprecedented ensemble of top name actors, pastors, musicians, and more. Inspired by the Bible Experience from Zondervan.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking about the power of belief today. My guest is psychiatrist Tim Jennings, and we have Ron in Pennsylvania that is on the phone with us. At the end of the program, we're going to have a drawing for two of the books, this brand new book that has just been released by our guest today. It is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. A great work. And Dr. Jennings, I mean, just the fact that a psychiatrist has written a book that is subtitled A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind is cutting new ground, it would seem to me.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It is was actually a somewhat of a hurdle in my residency to deal with my spirituality in the residency program, because there's many psychiatrists who are hostile to Christianity. So
right.
There's some truth in that.
Let's get back to Ron.
Yes, I just wanted to say that it is a brain-based illness, and if it is properly treated, people can live generally symptomatic-free, or at least have the symptoms under much remission through most of their life. But as far as I'm aware, there is no actual remedy that would cure it other than a miracle from God, which he could, of course, do at any time. Short of that, however, then the persons really need to stay in good treatment with a psychiatrist, stay on medications that work well for them, and they can live a very productive and generally symptom-free life.
Let me follow up and ask you this. When it comes to those illnesses that are diagnosed as specific illnesses, as this one is, where does the power of belief enter into that in actually helping change the mind? Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. A reference that often gets used, for instance, is that if a person breaks their arm, they go to an orthopedic surgeon, the arm is set and it has to heal physiologically, you know, the regular processes take place. And we would not want anyone to say, well, I can just have the power of belief and throw away all my medication and so forth. But what I'm asking is, how does the power of belief come into play in something that is diagnosed such as this one is?
Well, if somebody has the belief that if I only had more faith, I wouldn't have this illness, and I have this illness because there's something wrong with my relationship with God, and if I didn't have this problem with my relationship with God, then I wouldn't need medicine if I just had more faith, then that type of belief is extremely destructive. It would actually lead to more depression, because it would cause an inappropriate sense of guilt, which is actually damaging to the person. So the belief, the truth, would set you free. The truth is that since Adam and Eve fell, that genetic defects have entered the gene pool. That's why we all have all the physical problems we have of all kinds. And right. That's why we die. And the person born, remember what the disciples asked Christ? Who sinned that this man was born blind, he or his parents? Christ said, neither. Basically, sin is in the world.
Right.
Okay?
So
who sinned that this person is born with genetic vulnerabilities to bipolar disorder? Neither.
Right.
We have sin in the world. And so to free the mind from an inappropriate belief or a false belief would actually allow for better treatment, better compliance, and ultimately more peace within, so that they wouldn't actually have as much depression.
Can the mind actually be healed as a broken bone can be healed?
It depends on what you mean by the mind. Because we talk about mind, I think of software. We talk about brain, I think of hardware.
All right.
Okay, and there is a close interplay. What we think with our software can actually change the wiring of the hardware.
All right.
So
even in a situation like this,
sure,
can it have impact on it?
Sure, it can have impact, but it's not going to get rid of the physiologic defect that leads to the illness in the first place. And many people mistake mental illness for character development. And we are looked upon by God not whether we have bipolar disorder, but what is the condition of our character. And a person with bipolar disorder can still be kind, loyal, faithful, true, generous, loving, but still have bipolar disorder. Whereas somebody without bipolar disorder can be self-centered, evil, angry, exploitive of others, etc.
All right. Ron, does that help?
Yes. Could I ask another question?
Sure.
Now, my wife, with the medication, she has not been hospitalized for over 12 years, since I've come into the church.
Okay.
But she spends 4 to 5 days a week in bed, all day and all night. Should she be able to be function more on their medication?
I can't really answer that question. You're going to need to actually talk to her private psychiatrist about what's going on with her unique situation, because there's so many variables that mm-hmm. could be complicating her situation that I'm not privileged to.
Okay.
Is there anything that you would recommend that I do as far as living with someone like that to not aggravate the situation?
That's a great question, too. How does someone, other than the person that's ill, how do they relate to the person?
I think in each individual situation, there's differences depending on the personality of the individual, the other factors that are co-founding, and it's best to get information from the treating
position to know how to deal with this particular individual. In general, you want to make sure that you're not taking responsibility to fix the person or responsibility that somehow it's your fault for the way they are. This illness is not due to you. You haven't caused it, and you can't fix it. And so you need to free yourself from that sense of responsibility and love the person in spite of their illness. I love you. I wish I could fix it, but I can't. So I will encourage you to continue with your doctor's appointment and do the best that you can.
All right. Ron, thanks a lot for calling in. And we wish you God's blessing. Yes, and dealing with a challenging situation. Let's go now to Maryland, and we're going to talk to Pat. Pat, great to have you with us today.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. This is such a wonderful subject. I don't know if you heard Vicki Griffin talk a couple of weeks ago. Either she was on the Hope Channel or 3ABN because I watch both of them and I'm constantly switching back and forth.
She does some wonderful work.
She has also written a book. And what she was saying, it sounds like it's similar to what you're saying today, that what we put in our mind and what we think is how we're going to act. The lady that said something about writing down all the things in the past, I think I haven't met anyone yet that didn't have something that happened in their lifetime that they could, you know, keep bringing up. One time our church had an all-night prayer meeting, and we had everyone write down things that had happened during the year or hurt, things that they were sorry about, and then they had a fireplace. And we burned them. And if this lady still has them written and still bringing them out and re-looking at them, then she's not really, you know, getting them out of her life.
Right. Dr. Jennings?
Those types of techniques are often used by various counselors. I find them generally not very helpful. To write them down and burn them up, that really doesn't necessarily get them out of the heart. What we have to do is actually come to peace with what it is that has caused us to be so troubled in our hearts. That technique.
In fact, there's a similar example in the first chapter of your book, I noticed.
Yes, there is.
All right. We're going to have to go. I am sorry we are out of time, but want to thank you for calling in, Pat. And I know there's several of you that are standing in line waiting for an opportunity, and we're sorry that we have run out of time. Very quickly, let's see if we can slip this in. I noticed that one of the questions is actually written on the board. What about flaxseed oil? 10 seconds.
Omega-3 fatty acids are extremely healthy for the neurons of your brain. Flaxseed oil is a good thing.
All right. And we have now the ones that have, will get the books. And here are the two individuals. We have Hazel in Washington that will get a book. And we have Barbara in, where is that? That's Washington too. All right. Two Washington states. Washington is a good state to be from today, apparently. It's always a good state to be from. But in any case, those are the two. Barbara and Hazel will get the books out to you. The answer to the question, as so many of you got it right already, is Solomon. Once again, my apologies for those of you that we could not get on the air today. Dr. Jennings, thank you very much for being with
me
today.
Thanks for having me.
And we want to thank each one of you for participating and listening or watching the program. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Steve Gallimore Live. We're here Monday through Friday to help you think critically about the current world events from a biblical worldview. We would like to say a special thank you to those who faithfully support Life Talk through financial gifts. You make it possible to continue sending out a clear and undiluted message of hope in a world that's pulling apart at the seams. For more information on how you can participate in this vital ministry, visit our website, lifetalk.net, or call toll-free 800-775-4673. Thanks also to our research volunteers and our radio and television production teams. Please join us tomorrow for Steve Gallimore Live.
Finally, a breath of fresh air. Life Talk Radio.
All right, by now you should finally be writing 2007 on your checks and letters instead of 2006. And hopefully you're not still staring at December on that calendar that's hanging over there on your wall. It takes us all a little while to get used to a new year, doesn't it? But before we know it, winter is going to be over and the freshness of spring will be here. It's a good time to take a deep breath, slow down, and remember how good God is to each of us.
From Life Talk Radio.
Hey kids, did you know there's a radio station just for you? It's called Life Talk Kids, and it's found on live365.com. You need to search for Life Talk. Life Talk Kids features music, drama, and stories just for kids or the young at heart. To listen online, go to Live365.com, search for Life Talk, and then go to Life Talk Kids and connect with Christ today.